praise the Lord, I get a chance to step up here into the pulpit at Hillsdale Baptist Church. It's a privilege. I don't count it lightly ever to stand in, whether it's standing in front of 30 or 3,000. It makes no difference. It's a privilege to preach the Word of God. And I love the Word of God. I'm not going to attempt to try to pick up where our pastor is leading you through the Gospels. It's tremendous. But as our minds are shifting right now, and we got a missions times coming and a missionary here today, there's no better fitting passage in my mind than this Philippians chapter 3. Even as I was reading through it today, there's certain sections of it that just touched my heart, that God has used this passage in my life tremendously. Tremendously. I don't count myself to have attained, but to press forth, to press, to count the things that were dear to me but dumb for the knowledge of Christ, and to go after him. And many of you know my testimony, and my testimony was pretty much that, turning my back on a business career that I had set before me and stretching forward to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was in just tremendous faith the whole time, never worried or scared. My wife just laughed. God's will doesn't come through the window in a brick with a note. You know, you're following the Lord with a passion. You're following with all your heart. But man, you're nervous and you're shaking and you're sweating and you're praying. And Lord, where will you go? And over the last 25 years, I can look and see how God has just miraculously taken care of us as I have pursued Christ with my heart, to know him. And if he has me preach, if he has me do anything else, that's great. But to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a deeper, deeper manner has been my heart's passion. And God has led me through that. Now, here, we don't have a lot of time. A lot of time is gone. But through Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14, I don't have a handout today. I apologize. I didn't even have a PowerPoint for this until last night. And so if you see some errors in the PowerPoint, that's me working on a Saturday evening in PowerPoint. And principles from Paul for a passionate and purposeful life. And the one thing that God has granted, I will say this, is never a want for labor for Christ. Yeah, it lasted about that long. And pastor looks so good up here in his coat, you know, and so sharp. But you Floridians have lost your mind. It's warm. It's warm in Florida, okay? It is warm. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to look at it. There'll be some verses up here, and I'm going to go relatively quickly. You don't have any fill-in-the-blanks today, but if you're a note-taker, I'll try to be conscious of those of you that want to grab some notes if you're familiar with this passage and some principles. And turn clicker on, put glasses on that you may see the on button. There we go. How many like getting old? Isn't this nice? It's terrific. A letter to the Philippians. And this letter is written to a church in Philippi, which is dear to Paul's heart. It's probably the closest of all the churches to Paul's heart. It's the most personal of all his letters. These are his dear friends. He loves this church in Philippi. He was the church planter, and that's dear to my heart. Planting a church. When you plant a church, it's there's something about with those people. And then they're not my people. I understand that. I understand, Lord. I'm the under-shepherd. You are the shepherd. Man, they're my people. You know, you won them to Christ. You discipled them. You led them to the scriptures. And they're Christians pretty much the way God allowed me to help form them. And they're a mess, right? No, they're doing great or they're not. And that's how Paul was. Man, that they are his people. They're his people, and these people loved Paul. Around this passage, I see a couple of things as in context, as a solid exhortation. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We know this great humbling passage, where humbling of yourself, but there's much in here. Paul deals a lot with the area of our mind and our thinking, also how it interacts with in our consciousness. And how many of you know that that's where the battles fall, right? It's fought up here. That's where the battle is fought. Very rarely is the battle fought externally. It's fought in the soul. The spirit leading the soul versus the flesh leading the soul. And the battleground is in the mind and the will and the emotions. And he says, therefore, Paul's going to talk much about the mind. And he says, let this mind, or there is allowed. But there's also a sad commentary here. It says, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a sad commentary, but it sounds like America today, right? In the Christian circles, but you notice it hasn't changed, okay? America's not unique when it comes to Christian circles. Christians battle with seeking their own. How many of you are selfish? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar now, too. So, no, right? It's the struggle, right? Right? You never have to teach a child to be selfish. If you've had a child, you know, right? Mine! And no share. And all seek their own. Philippians 3:18, we see a sobering reality here. He says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, tell you, even now weeping, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. And generally, this would be considered people with a works-based salvation, people that come in, you know, a contrary salvation. Boy, that's an enemy. I mean, if you think you need to be baptized to be saved, well, then Christ is not enough. If you add anything to salvation, then Christ and his sacrifice and his blood is not enough. And could you, how could you add to something like that? Am I going to add my good works to Christ's blood? Could you add to that, or will there always be a negative? Yeah. And that's the enemy. So you see this reality, but you also see within here a solid foundation in Philippians 3:15. He'll say this. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Hey, let's, as many as be perfect. And here's a great definition in your Bible. Those that are perfect, but those that are thinking the way Paul is describing in verses 4 through 14. And as you think this way, if you think this way, there's a couple of definitions in our Bible for what it means to be perfect, or where you ought to be as a Christian. You know, a baby can be perfect. You say, not mine. But a baby, I mean, it's perfect as, you know, you take him for a checkup and everything exactly as they should be. You can have a perfect young adult. You can have a perfect teenager. You can have a perfect older adult. You're where you should be by now. Right? That's one of the things. So here it says, the first principle I want to draw out here is in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 5. It says here, the apostle's talking. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. If you don't know the story of the apostle Paul, prior to that he was called Saul, which is his Hebrew name, and Paul being his Greek name. He'd come in and he's Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Pharisee persecuting the church, he'll say in the next verse. But you see here that this value, this personal value that he had, this personal value, how do you value yourself? You know, there's an identification, and I have a list of verses that I've made up called identifying verses, as God identifies who you are. You know, how many of you ever feel like you're just worthless? Right? And is that true? You got to ask God. If God says you're not and you think you are, who's right? Probably God, right? No doubt about it. Personal value. See, we value ourselves by the accolades. We value ourselves by the things that have come on, by my birth, you know. You value yourself, some people, by their nation. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, right? And these births, right, that Paul here is talking about these things, these accolades, the education, you know. I've got a triple doctorate degree, you know, and I don't know, hydrophysics or something. Some crazy. You know, I once met a man who had three doctorates, and I thought, man, there's something wrong with you. I'm thinking that in my mind. But the other side is, well, you like school way too much, all right? Religion. We get into things of religion. We get into these things, these things in which we identify myself, you know. And we know religion in the Bible, New Testament, used 5 times, 1 time positive, 4 times negative. We oftentimes will say this, and it's not a bad saying. Hey, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. And well, I'll define it a little bit here, a little bit later, how I would say that. We see this principle of value. He says in Philippians, the next verse, 3:6, he says, concerning zeal persecuting the church. Man, that guy was zealous. Now, we know the zeal of the Lord had eaten up Christ. He talks about, it's just a good zeal. It's good to be zealously affected, the Bible says, but towards good. Because the Jews, it says, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You want to have a zeal for the Lord. And Paul here is a man who was zealous for persecuting the church. He was actually zealous for Israel. And you'll tie that to the other Saul in the Bible who killed the Gibeonites because he was zealous for Israel. And who wants to have a bunch of Gentiles joining in Study the history of the Gibeonites. You understand where that comes from. Touching the righteous, the law, blameless. You see, he was that idea of value. Then you have this public value here. We value ourselves by our professed perspective, futures and achievements, and the things that where we stand and where we're headed. And these are the value that we see coming. He had risen to high esteem, you know, among his peers. You know, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And today, you know, as Christians, I heard one preacher say this. He says, study the Pharisees, and whatever they do, do the opposite. You'll be a great Christian. And I thought, well, that's probably pretty good advice. They'd risen to high esteem and high distinction. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. Wouldn't you like to be known by everybody? Somebody said no. Who was that? Some wise person said no, right? The value, how we value. But things which were gained to me, I counted lost for Christ. But notice in here, it says things that were gain. How is it a gain? Where is it a gain? Among whom is it a gain? Oh, there is a gain, right? There is a gain. My brother-in-law, a brilliant man, wrote a curriculum for the school in which he taught, but the school couldn't use it because he didn't have a degree. So they paid for him to go get an associate's degree so they could use the curriculum he wrote. Right? The world honors some titles, don't they? Yeah, yeah. The things which are gained for me, yea, doubtless, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Why does he call it a suffering? Sometimes it starts out as a suffering. If you haven't done the last part, where he says, I do count them but dung. I always wondered about this, where Paul's describing. He's like, I do count them but dung. Well, you know, it's not hard to lose that. You know, nobody breaks in and steals it. I count them but dung. But yet he says, I suffered the loss of all things. We don't want to make the gravy train sound too pretty when you're following the Lord. There's a struggle. There can be a suffering. And there's a suffering described in this, right? But he's saying that these accolades, these things that I used to count myself as, they don't count. They contain no value in the realm of true religion before God. We know that's how it's used in James, true religion. A true religion before God. God, as you come up and stand before the Lord, you know, education is good. It's not good that the soul be without knowledge. But yet, you know, the degree falls off. The hat falls off. The tie comes off. The everything comes stripped down as you stand before the Lord. And if I'm going to pursue Christ with a passion, if I'm going to pursue Christ with all I have, if I'm going to pursue Christ, and listen, you say, well, yeah, but you're a preacher, you're supposed to pursue Christ, and you have the time to do it. Well, I did this when I was a Roto-Rooter man. You can pursue Christ with a passion, with all you have, when you're working 100 hours a week. It's just a little harder to focus. They contain no value in the realm of religion. What does? True religion is a right reaction to a restored relationship. True religion, you know, you say religion is generally thought of as negative, but religion actually is a reactive term. It's something man made to honor their God. And a true religion is a right reaction to the restored relationship or to a restored relationship with God. Wealth is oftentimes a hindrance to this. We know how hardly shall the rich be saved. Station, the higher the profile, the harder the pressure not to change. Education, it can create high-mindedness. Ability is hard to one's own inability. These things come before us, right? And these things become a hindrance to true religion. Lucas says, Jesus speaking here, ye are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. I can't offer these things to the Lord. I can't offer these things. As I come up before the Lord, one thing I love about our faith, the true faith, is that the cross, the ground is level. Right? I am not clergy. I know sometimes I go places, they give me a clergy pass. I had one guy look at it one time, and he goes, clergy? Yes, clergy. Clergy. No, there's no higher station, you know. The prayers up to before the Lord, we have equal and ground footing as we stand, but you also have equal ground footing as we stand before the Lord. as we all come before him. And this is the beauty of it. Notice when he says, I count it for loss for Christ. It's not just, well, I'm just going to suffer the loss of all things. That's Christianity. No. I turn my back. You know the old song, right? The cross before me, the world behind me. You're turning away from things. And I come to God and I drop all the accolades, I drop the position, I drop all that, count it as loss, and I come to God and I come to Christ. Why? To win him. I count, he says, I count. That word count is interesting, is good. It's to consider, to think. Paul's telling you how he thinks. I think this way. I count all things. I count these things to be nothing. Then he says later, remember where he says, let us be thus minded. To as many as are thus minded. If you can think like this, Paul says. It's one of the descriptions. He says, you're a perfect man. Do you know your limit? What would you not give up for Christ? Oh, I give up everything. It's one of the trials that God has brought me down through. And I don't know about you, but I play in my brain sometimes. And, you know, me and my brain running around. And I try to think, okay, God, you know my limit. What is it? What would take me out of the ministry? Loss of a child? Well, that might. I know some preachers that did. Bankruptcy? How many are willing for the cause of Christ to give up your retirement plan completely? Ooh, some of you got a good profile, all right? Portfolio, I should say. Yeah, my retirement plan, I've got a great one, it's the rapture. And that's my retirement plan. Principle of value, right? But what things were, to me, I counted for loss. I considered them lost. As I come up to Christ, as I pursue Christ, yea, I count all things. Notice this mental process that's in his mind, right? And I remember one time when we first bought a nice car, and we went out and picked up some kids and brought them to church. And not all kids you pick up for church smell very good. And as you bring them in your new car and take them to church, and I remember somebody saying something, and I said, if my car is too nice for the Lord's work, then I have too nice of a car. They make Febreze for a reason. To know Christ is truly the most valuable commodity in this present world that I could have is to know Christ. Notice what Paul says there in Acts. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither, this is an amazing statement. Neither count I my life dear to myself. Notice the reflexive pronoun. I count to myself. My life is not dear to me. So that I might finish my course with joy. Same idea here that's in Philippians. The idea of the end, to finish and strive and go for all, that I might finish what? The ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. All things, all I have done, all I have ever could have done, all I have and all I might ever have is loss. Because I want to know him with a passion. Philippians 3:9, he goes on, he says, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. Whew, by faith. God's righteousness, absolute holiness. To be found in him, to be found in him, cleansed by his blood through faith in his blood. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to him that loved us and cleansed us from our sins in, or washed us from our sins in his own blood. Romans said, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood. It's faith in the saving blood of Christ. Some people say, well, how do you take the Lord's Supper worthily? The Bible says we must be worthily. That means you're coming to the Lord in full faith in his blood. Worthily. I come in full faith, renouncing all self, all works, all nothing in my hand I bring, only to his cross I claim. In full faith, I believe, the blood of Christ has cleansed me. The name I once cursed, this name I now preach, because the blood of Christ has cleansed me from that sin. The blood of Christ I have faith in his blood. And when you do, he is the propitiation for your sins, the full satisfactory payment to God as a propitiation for our sins, however you want to say. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Believing on his name, and I wrote that there inside there, it says cleansed by his blood through faith in his blood, salvation by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. We say that, we know that that is true, but implied in the Bible in the word name is all that he is and all that he's done. That's what it means to believe in his name. Believing on his name is depending on his blood. I am going to heaven today. Why? Because I'm depending on his blood. Depending on his blood. Dependent upon his blood. But I want to know more about it. I want to know how it all works. I want to know what Christ did, who he did, how he did. I want to know how he thinks. I want his mind. Paul was not speaking to unbelievers, which is fascinating when he says this. Oh, that I might be found in him. Wait, aren't you already saved, Paul? Yes, Paul is saved. Then what's he talking about in this section? He's talking to believers. Who was it Paul was hoping to be found by? That I might be found in him. Found by who, Paul? Who's going to find me there? My wife. Maybe, I don't know. When Paul was when was he anticipating to be found? Where exactly is in him? And how was he to get from here? How do I get from here to there? Paul's great desire was that at all times and all places, God would find him in complete dependence on Christ. Where are you right now? Evidently, you're not necessarily in Christ. You say, well, I'm in church. I know where you are physically. Where are you? When God said to Adam, where art thou? It's not because he couldn't find him. He wasn't in the bushes hiding with good camouflage. Gilla suit and God can't find you. No. He's talking to Adam. Where are you spiritually, Adam? Where are you? Paul says, I'm going to be found in him. I'm going to be found in complete dependence. This is my goal. Why? Because it happens so quickly, I start depending on something else. Casting off all dependence of your flesh and acceptance for God, acceptance before God, casting off all dependency of the flesh, casting it aside. I love the 10 in hymns. Now, James, turn around. You're not allowed to look at this. All right? And you say, why? Because we were having a Bible study, right? Elizabeth, James, and me and Teresa. And I left him a homework assignment to find the 10 in hymns of Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't tell you how many, but there's 10. There's 10 right here. And I probably missed one. So if you found one I didn't, that's good. So if you jot these down, you'll have them. The 10 in hymns. In him is our blessing. In him is our choosing. That's election. In him is our acceptance. In him is our redemption and forgiveness. In him is displayed God's wisdom and prudence towards man. In him is our gathering together. That's the restoration of all things. In him is our inheritance. In him is our trust. In him is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing. In him is the power of God towards us. Let me read that. In him is the power of God towards us on our behalf. In him, all this is found within, in Christ. And in Christ is in a complete dependency upon his blood, complete dependency upon him, complete dependency on his favor, complete dependency. Man, you step up this pulpit, you better be in complete dependency. And when you are, all that's yours. Because it's found in him. He's our all and all. How about our singing today? That I might know him. Oh, that I might know him, that in him is everything. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to scratch out the second part. How about just the power? Being made conformable. He left heaven. That's the context. He left heaven. He counted it not. Right? Robbery. He counted it not, heaven, worth so much that he wouldn't come down to us. Whatever it is that you forsake, the knowledge of Christ is better. This is why the suffering of this present time is the light affliction. Paul calls it a light affliction. Then he tells us everything that happened to him. I'm like, that's not light. It is when you're getting Christ, right? Depending on the value of the object attained, it determines how much the loss is regretted. And if I attain... Oh, have you ever read through your Bible? I get emotional when I preach, so forgive me. Have you ever read through your Bible, come to a golden nugget? and you see a side of Christ you never saw before. You see something he did that you never saw before, and your mind starts to run. It ties in other scriptures, and all of a sudden, a loop is made, and you start to, an understanding of your scripture just came to mind that you never had before. He's beautiful. He's altogether beautiful. He's a diadem from every angle that you look, and everywhere you look at him, he's beautiful. From this phrase, he's beautiful. From this angle, there's not an angle you can look at Christ that he's not altogether beautiful. And his redemption plan included me. I tell you what, that I might know him better. Oh, that I might know him better. To know him, right? To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that it might fulfill, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, right? To be fully acquainted with his presence, to be under his influence of love for me, to be under the influence of the coming judgments of the saints and sinners, to participate in the trials, the reproaches, the heartache that Christ participated in his sufferings, that I might be like him and to know what it feels like. To hurt so bad inside that you can't move, you can't get up, but you get on in faith of God and you step forward anyway. Oh, that's one thing I did. I can't go on too much. I listened to Pastor as he talks about the old days and the struggles that the church went through. And oh, how God brought us through, and he's glorifying God in it. But as a pastor, I know what it's like when half or a third of the church walks out. I know what that's like. I know what it's like when you lay the bills out and you got to pray about which ones to pay. Oh, I know the heartache and the stress that you go through when a pastor, somebody says, hey, don't take it personally, but we're heading over to another church. Are you kidding me? Don't take it personally. Are you kidding me? Just don't tell me before church. I love when somebody comes and says, well, I know you told us not to talk to you before the sermon, Pastor, but I want to let you know we're leaving and we're taking 600 families with us. Just, you know, stuff like that has happened. And tell them after church. Be nice to them. To fully acquainted with Christ's nature, to be fully acquainted with his temperament, to be fully acquainted with his character, to be fully acquainted with his work and what he's done and how he did it, to be fully acquainted with Christ. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Get confusing verse. Don't get too confused. The idea is all that God has for me. Now, let me finish reading that. Not as though I'd already attained. And we all love this verse. Not as though I'm already there. Right? Because if I'm already there, I don't have to work. Right? Where are you working to get? Right here. No. Not as though, but either are already perfect. He doesn't consider himself perfect. But then he'll go on and say, ye that are like-minded. Ye that are perfect, like-minded. He knows what perfect is. Perfect is not a state. Perfect is a pursuit. That's why you can be perfect and be saved for 15 minutes, or you can be perfect and be saved for 15 years, or you can be perfect and be saved for 50. Why? Because perfect is not a state, it's a pursuit. It's a state of mind. Interesting. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I might apprehend for that which I was also apprehended of Christ Jesus. What a verse! God apprehended. You know what that means, right? Right? You guys watch Cops, right? They got him. Right? Man, do you remember the day Christ handcuffed you? And his love took a hold of you like nothing else? And his love drew you to him and he got a hold of your heart? And you were more surely bound than if he would put handcuffs? And then God says, I got you for a reason. What is it? Pursue it. And now I'm after. I'm going to apprehend what Christ got for me. God's? Can I say God's? I'm going to apprehend what the Lord has for me. I'm going for it. I want it all. I want everything that God... I don't want to get to heaven and find out, hey, you could have been. Man, please don't let me ever be a has-been. No, Lord. If I'm ever a has-been, take me home. Oh, I want to be a current... I want to be the principles of pursuit, to attain, to go after, to reach, to achieve all that God has for me right here and now. I want to finish my course with joy, to receive a full reward. That warning in 2 John 8, he says, how's that verse go? 2 John 8, somebody help me out here. It says to see that you receive a full reward. Take heed to thyselves. Did somebody say it? Or did it was God. Take heed to yourselves, I think it says. That you receive a full reward. I guess some of us are going to get partial. Oh, I'm not done with that one yet. To receive a full reward, to follow after, to attain, he's talking about, that I might attain, to reach, to follow after. What is God's plan, a purpose for me? God apprehended me for a purpose, now I'm going after that purpose. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. I don't think I've reached that purpose. Why? God's pretty smart. He knows how to make that purpose that extends to the end of my life. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth, focus. This whole idea here is where he talks about focus. That's the idea of today's sermon. The general idea is narrowing the focus of my life, to narrow my focus. This one thing I do. Mary has chosen the one thing. This one thing I do. One thing. Come on, guys, you know you can't multitask. One thing, right? Focus. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I got to disentangle. Sometimes the Lord helps me, right? For the fathers, the husbandmen, and those who bear fruit, he pruneth. And sometimes God has to cut a few things out of my life, like PlayStation. Why? Because I want to know him. Yeah, you don't understand. I conquered the world last night. Yeah, I know. But I'm going to know Christ. Sometimes God's got to prune a few things out of your life, like some tools or some toys. The principles of focus. Not tools, I was just kidding. I'm a tool guy. I like tools. Singleness of purpose. The light of the body. Right? The light of the body of the eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, focus. Focus and bring your eye single. I'm going to pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. I'm going to pursue Christ. I'm going to pursue Christ and what Christ has here for me. Therefore, if my eye be single, my whole body fills with light. But he gives a warning on the other side of that. That will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, for you trusteth in him. Singleness of purpose, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Isn't that interesting? What a statement. To show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. A heart that just wants God and wants Christ and just want to know him. It's going to take some brokenness. It's going to take some rejection. It's going to take some pain. It's going to take some hurt. Lord, I'm willing. It's going to take some sacrifice. Lord, I'm willing. It's going to take some faith. Lord, you know my faith, Lord. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Here I go. It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Oh, I remember that song. We sang it in choir. And I just was crying in choir. Sometimes it's so uncertain. I need to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you will never leave. You will lead and guide me. Oh, Lord, I do believe. Dad, I'm not taking over your business. God's called me. What are you going to do? I don't know. What school are you going to do? I don't know. How are you going to do this? I don't know. You're going to start a church? You're going to take over? I don't know. You're going to be a pastor? I don't know. But I got to take a step. Narrow your focus. Some things to forget. Sometimes some of you have some past things to forget. Boy, you got to forget it. You got to forget it. You got to forget it. Lord, you can't use a man like me. I know what I've done in your name. I know what I said about you. I know the things I've done. God, what are you doing? The devil will remind you. The world will remind you. The flesh will remind you, trying to get you to stop. You got to pass victories. Why? Because the devil will remind you. Oh, you've done that. You're doing good. Well done. Sit down and rest. Come on. You deserve a break today. The world will applaud you. Well done. Well done. Now sit down. The flesh will deceive you. Whew, that was good. Listen, we've got enough Christians in the grandstands. We need some on the field. It's okay. It's okay to take a bench, get a breather. Whew, but man, don't get off the bench and get in the bandstands. They're cheering us on. Hey, that's great. Let them cheer us on, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. But let's get on the field. Right? That's the idea. Let's get out there field. Narrow your focus. Reaching forth a mighty stretching of oneself. Putting all you got into it. I mean, half-heartedness. How about Peter? When God, Luke chapter 5, God told Peter, cast out your nets. And it says he cast out the net. half-hearted Christianity. And what happens? The net broke. Should have cast out all the nets. How many fish would you got then, Peter? Right? Half-hearted Christianity. God still blessed it because he obeyed. That's a great. Narrowing your focus here, pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Reaching out a little, going beyond your comfort zone. Oh, yeah, I can't tell somebody about Jesus. I can't hand out a tract. I've never handed out a tract. She's 8. What's that little girl going to do? This is America, friends. Very little happens to you when you go out and tell people about Jesus. Nobody shot me yet. Well, paintball doesn't count. Dogs might come after you. I mean, that's about the biggest danger we have. I can't teach a class. Yes, you can. I can't sing in the choir. Well, maybe not, but Pastor Armstrong, he will teach you. Right? Reaching out beyond your comfort zone. Lead me, Lord, I'll go. God says, step and I'll lead you. No, Lord, lead me and I'll go. Step and I'll lead you. Give me the power and I'll go. God says, go and I'll give you the power. It's your will. I tell people this, step out. You're sitting in a pew. The invitation comes, step out. The minute your will makes the decision to move the foot, God will meet you. But until the will makes that decision, God, give me the power to follow you. God says, follow me and I'll give you the power. Scared to preach? Step up to a pulpit. God will meet you there. Scared to hand out a tract? Try it. God will meet you there. God will meet you there. Reaching out. Principles from Paul and his passionate. Boy, I wish we could have the rest of the day. I should have looked at my notes. There's some good stuff in here. God is amazing. And pursuing Christ with all your life. Whatever's hindering you today, set it aside. Whatever dreams you have, it's okay to dream big, but dream big for Christ. But know this. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is far beyond rubies and gold. It's far, it's priceless. What comes into the heart, what comes into the life when you know Christ. And then when you pursue further and further and deeper, there's nothing like it. You'll never meet somebody. I've sat on the deathbed of many who said, man, I wish I wouldn't have gotten saved. You won't see that. You won't even see that for people. Ask the saved people here today. Do you ever regret the fact that you got saved? If you're not saved here today, we'll have an invitation. We'll sing a song, and you know, and we won't light lighters or nothing, but we'll sing a nice soft song. And you'll be invited to come down and receive Christ as your Savior. And somebody will come up and meet you right up here if you'd like, and we'll talk with you and make sure you know you need some help. We'll help you. And you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will not go home today saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I promise you. Step out. Or perhaps God's calling you to do something for him. You've been listening to the choir and you're thinking, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to join the church. Maybe you got to get baptized and get all wet in front of people. Maybe God's calling you to a level of sanctification to get rid of something. It's time. When I came back and started pursuing Christ, I was at the altar every sermon, week after week after week. It didn't matter what the pastor preached on, I was doing it. And I had to get right with God. And I left stuff at that altar, and I left stuff at that altar, and I left stuff at the altar. Then I came back and got it on Monday, and I had to come back Sunday and leave it at the altar again. Perhaps there's something you need to do. Hey, step out, God will meet you. And perhaps it's something you are going to do privately before the Lord. But the principles of living narrow my focus. I've got to let some things go. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Camper, pool, boat, toys, whatever. Let it go for the Lord. Let it go for the Lord. Our house was our biggest hindrance. To give up our home, we loved our first home that God gave to us. And on a Wednesday night, we had a missionary preach. And my wife was pregnant. She was home. And I came. She's always pregnant. I don't know why. We came home, and that night, and as there's tears in my eyes, God had broken my heart to give up my home, to pursue him. And we were remodeling the basement, making a kid's room, and all I had was some trim that I'd made. It was pink. So I went into the garage, and I grabbed that pink trim, and I grabbed my saw, and I built a square sign, and I put a for sale sign in the middle of it, and a stake. So I have this pink sign with a for sale in the middle, and I set it in the front yard, and I'm nailing it in the front yard, pounding it in with a hammer, and my wife hears me and opens the front door, and here she is, this big old pregnant lady, right, and there's a couple other little rugrats behind her, and she looks out, she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're selling our house, and I'm going to Bible college." And there's tears in my eyes, and she looks out, she says, "No, my dear." She had no idea what happened to church that night. Man, what a surrender. I remember the day pastor said, "Hey, if there's something in your house that would offend Jesus Christ, get rid of it." And I went home and I picked up my CD tower. And I walked to where I drove to work, got out of my car, picked it up and put it in the dumpster. I'll have nothing in my home that would offend my Christ. Oh, what a time of surrender. Let's stand, let's sing a song as our instruments come and we'll close down the service. I want to encourage you today to surrender to the Lord. The greatest thing you'll ever do is raise the white flag and we'll sing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 4 minutes after 12. I've gone a little bit later there with the invitation. And it won't be long. It'll be quick. But I want to invite you to step out right there in the first verse. Some of you are battling a battle. Some of you are trying to forget some things of the past. Some of you don't feel worthy to come to Christ. I want you to know you are welcome. Come forward and pray. But if you're not saved, I'd like you to come forward and just say, hey, Pastor Mills, I'm not saved. Or just look at me and say, I'm not saved. We'd like to deal with you today and help you resolve that issue.